Okay, Alexander, let's talk about a story from National File, and it's related to tomorrow's big day in Congress, and everyone's wondering what Vice President Mike Pence will do and how everything's going to shake out tomorrow with the electors. But National File has a story, and the title reads "Backroom Deal: Pence, McCarthy, Pelosi, McConnell Plan to End January 6th Challenge After 2 Hour Debate." Sources. The byline reads, "A backroom deal has been struck that will attempt to pacify Trump's base while ultimately mullifying the January 6th challenge," National File sources say. And this kind of piggybacks on the rumor that we briefly touched upon during one of our lives that Pelosi and McConnell were talking about a way to kind of play politics with a lot of the dissatisfaction from the from Trump's voting base and try to appease them while working out a deal between themselves, just kind of railroad the electors through, kind of having a ceremonial debate take place. Then they could kind of play politics with the base and say, "Look, we discussed it, and we talked about all the objections, but at the end of the day, Biden is president of the United States." They were working on something like that, and those were rumors. But now we have this confirmation from this story that came out. What do you make of this? It's interesting that McCarthy is also listed. That's the first that I've heard of McCarthy, as well as Pence. So the rumors were just talking about McConnell, Pelosi, and actually Schumer. But now we have McCarthy and Pence, which are named to be in this backroom deal.
I think they're very believable and they make a great deal of sense to me. I think what you're seeing is the political establishment closing ranks and trying to push everybody back into line. And of course, the people who are going to be most concerned to do this are not, strangely enough, the Democrats, who are reasonably united, but the Republicans, the Republican leadership in the Senate. That's where the real leadership of the Republican Party is, at least the establishment party, are becoming obviously clearly very worried and alarmed about the whole situation because they have 140 House Republicans in effect rebelling against the leadership. That's 140. That is about two-thirds, as I understand it, or even three-quarters of House Republicans rebelling. And we've had 11 senators coming forward and saying that there should be an electoral commission. And there's one Republican senator who says that he will back the House Republicans in resisting certification. Now, that is not what the Republican Party establishment wants to see. We've discussed this many times. They've never been keen on Trump. If you read play, if you read their the media sites which support them, places like National Review and Washington Examiner, they are becoming increasingly enraged by Donald Trump and the fact that he is still refusing, as they see it, to play ball and to if you like, collude in his own removal. They have every incentive of closing this whole thing down, getting this orderly transition, as they would call it, to Biden done as quickly and as smoothly as possible so that they can return to business as usual without Donald Trump, which has been what they've always wanted. And I think we are seeing more and more moves to this effect. One, I'm going to say it straightforwardly, was this very strange decision to release the Raffensperger tape or the audio tape, which I have to say, I found that a most surprising development. And Raffensperger has struggled to justify that decision. Very interesting article about that by Byron York, by the way, who is an establishment Republican, but one with more sympathy for Donald Trump than other establishment Republicans seem to have. And the other thing is, I am sure, a growing pressure on the senators to fall into line. And also backroom deals organized with the House leadership. I think McConnell is undoubtedly the key person pulling the strings here, with the House leadership. including, and that's where McCarthy comes in. And of course, as for Pence, we've always sensed that ultimately he is an establishment Republican. He has been loyal to Trump up to now, but he also wants, I think, an orderly transition, as they would say it, because on the one hand, he is an establishment Republican himself. And secondly, he wants the backing of the Republican establishment in the campaign for the presidency, which he intends to launch in 2024. So we have all of these things playing out. And I think some kind of a deal is highly likely in order to contain this thing. There are many questions. One is what the form of this deal is going to take. We hear that there's going to be a circumvented debate of about 2 hours, and then that there will be a direct vote afterwards. This is what National File is saying. But we also hear that there's going to be some attempt to mollify the Trump electoral base. I wonder how that is going to happen. I wonder whether the Trump electoral base is in any mood to be mollified at the moment. I have to say that this talk of mollifying the base seems very strange to me, when in fact what they're really doing is defying the base. But that's one thing. So there is that question. And then, of course, there are lots of other questions about how this will stick, whether House Republicans will really be prepared to fall into line about this, how Donald Trump is going to react, and how all those people who are going to apparently gather and protest in Washington, how they're going to respond as well. So, you know, we will see how this works. But it's classic McConnell. He's always been a person who thrives, if you like, in the corridors of power, rather than openly going out on the hustings, talking to people in a direct way, in the way that Donald Trump does. It's exactly the kind of wire pulling that I would expect of him. And I have to say, I think much of the country will see it for what it actually appears to be, which is an establishment stitch-up.
All right. Okay, so let's break this down then. I've got four topics that we can discuss, which are related to the story and related to what's going to happen tomorrow, or at least we can try to, I don't know, maybe stitch something together as to what we think, or maybe help our viewers understand what may possibly go down tomorrow, because it's getting very confusing, to be honest. We're getting a lot of mixed signals. So let's stay on this National File story, and that's point number one, and let me read you some excerpts as to how they see it going down tomorrow, or their theory as to what they see might happen. So National File says that Vice President Mike Pence, House Speaker Pelosi, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, and Senate Majority Leader McConnell have reached an informal backroom deal to expedite the January 6th challenge in the Electoral College and end it with a simple majority vote after a two-hour debate. Multiple Capitol Hill sources have confirmed this to National File. The informal agreement is to cap the debate at 2 hours, then have congressional leadership gavel over any objections and pursue a scripted simple majority vote to confirm the electoral votes, National File's sources explain. One source noted that this will likely conjure images of the 2012 Republican convention when former RNC chair John Boehner ignored loud objections from former Texas Rep. Dr. Ron Paul's delegates and read from an already prepared script on a teleprompter instead. Okay, so this is interesting because it looks like they're drawing from a 2012 scenario and they're just kind of pasting it to tomorrow's congressional hearing. So there you have it. That's from National File as to that, how they see tomorrow going down.
Well, can I just say, it's exactly the kind of arrangement that I can imagine McConnell and the other, you know, veteran politicians, people of the, you know, the establishment, including, of course, Pelosi and Schumer, who are absolutely classic establishment figures. It's exactly the kind of thing that they would do. And of course, in 2012, it worked against Ron Paul. But of course, there is an enormous problem, which is that Donald Trump is not Ron Paul. Firstly, he is the president of the United States. Ron Paul was not the president of the United States. But secondly, Donald Trump is a vastly more popular figure with the grassroots of the Republican Party and in the nation than Ron Paul has ever been. I don't say that as any kind of criticism of Ron Paul, somebody for whom I hold in high esteem, but it is a simple fact. Ron Paul has not won 74 million votes in an election. Donald Trump has. And it seems to me that treating Donald Trump and treating his base, his mass of voters, in the same sort of way that you treated Ron Paul in a Republican Party convention 8 years ago is actually a profoundly misguided thing. Token, scripted, rehearsed debates, debates like they used to have, dare I say, I'm sorry to bring up this analogy all the time, back in the Supreme Soviet, you know, the Soviet Parliament, where everybody, you know, knew in advance what they were going to say, and the applause had also been rehearsed in advance, so people knew when to applaud and when not to applaud and for how long. Trying to do that in this sort of situation that we have today in the United States is not going to pacify or mollify anybody. It's just going to make some people even angrier than they are already.
Okay, number two. Let's go to part number two that we need to dissect. Trump's rally in Georgia yesterday. And Trump came out, he came out hard in support for Loeffler and Perdue. And while he, I mean, it was, once again, you're a great Trump rally, the standard rally that we know all, that we all know and love and entertaining. And Trump was once again on his A game. It's where he's at his best. But of course, he raised, you know, the issues that he has with the election and what took place on November 3rd. And he hasn't, you know, he's been saying this now for 2 months. He's been going over everything point by point by point. And, you know, we all understand exactly at this point in time. We're all very, very aware with what happened on November 3rd. Everyone that's watching this channel knows exactly what went down. But I find it interesting that maybe it's the wrong way of saying it, but it does seem like Trump is playing ball with the establishment GOP here by coming out and supporting Loeffler and Perdue so strongly. I mean, he said he praised Perdue, he praised Loeffler, he praised Mike Pence. He cracked a joke and he says, you know, I believe in Mike Pence. I trust in him. If he makes the wrong decision, you know, tomorrow, on the 6th, he said, makes the wrong decision on Wednesday, then I may not like him as much. Okay, but he was joking there. I mean, he was joking about it, but I don't know. I understand what's at stake by having the Democrats win the Senate. Absolutely. But could you say that Trump maybe I don't want to say sending wrong signals, but you know, he is supporting the GOP here.
Well, he is supporting the GOP because of course he doesn't want to lose support from some people in Congress, in the GOP, particularly House Republicans, I suspect, particularly perhaps those 11 senators who are not quite as committed to him as Josh Hawley is. But he doesn't want to lose their support in advance of the debate on the 6th, on tomorrow. But I think there is something else here, which is, of course, this is also Donald Trump's way of telling the GOP and telling the GOP leadership, look, you can win or you can fight, but you can only win with me and with my voters. You ultimately depend on me. I have the support in the country. You don't. You need me to come to Georgia to fight for your candidates for the Senate. Ultimately, it's I who am the person who can bring out the crowds and who can bring out the votes and you can swing elections. By yourself, you can't. I come back to what I said. Donald Trump is somebody who is absolutely brilliant on campaign. He's able to go out, talk to people, go on canvas, meet people, talk to crowds. You never see Mitch McConnell doing that in that kind of way. Mitch McConnell doesn't have those kind of skills. And that's the difference. And that's, I think, the point that Donald Trump is emphasizing. He has the connection to the Republican base. The GOP leadership in the Senate don't. By the way, that's one reason why they mistrust and fear him so much, because they know that ultimately he is the colossus and they are not. It's a little bit like Julius Caesar and, you know, people like Brutus and Cassius. They're jealous of the fact that Trump, Caesar, if you like, Julius Caesar, has all this tremendous support behind him, which they simply don't have. And that's where I think a lot of these tensions come from.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you there. Let's go to Jenna Ellis then. And she floated a strategy with an interview on Josh Solomon's channel from Just the News. And her strategy is saying this. She's saying that it's very simple for Mike Pence. He can just, you know, walk into Congress. For those states that are disputed, the six states, you have two sets of electors. Mike Pence can just simply say, you know what? I don't know which electors to choose, go back to the states and come back with one set of electors, one slate. Don't give me two slates. Come back with one slate and we'll reconvene. Jenna Ellis says they will reconvene on January 17th, I think she says. It'll take about a couple of days to sort out and that'll be that. So her strategy that she floated is Mike Pence can simply not accept the slates from these six states. And just say, look, once you guys have sorted out which group of electors you want, let's reconvene and we'll proceed from there. It gives Mike Pence a way out. Jed Ellis says it's 100% in line with the Constitution. It gives Mike Pence an off ramp. He doesn't have to make this difficult decision between McConnell, Trump, or any stuff like that. It's fully in line with the law. No problem whatsoever.
Right. I should say straight away, I am not an expert on the US Constitution, but my reading of the Constitution and of the amendment is that she is that is right, that is exactly correct. That is the power that Mike Pence has. And in theory, one could see him do it. I don't think this is anywhere near as unprecedented or extraordinary or as unusual as people are making up. Having said that, saying that he can do it is not the same thing as saying that he will do it. If we are right in these reports that we are hearing from National File and elsewhere that there is a backstairs deal being done, then that is precisely the kind of scenario that deal is intended to prevent. In other words, Pence will go with the, if you like, conventional slate of electors which have been presented, and I suspect that is what, you know, he will do. But we'll see. We will see. We will see what he does tomorrow.
Okay, so point number four, and we'll wrap it up, and that is coming from Mo Brooks. Mo Brooks is Alabama. From Alabama, Representative Mo Brooks. Mo Brooks is saying that outside of Hawley, the other 11 or 12 senators that have rallied behind Ted Cruz and have appeared to object to the elector certification are pulling a head fake. Mo Brooks sent this tweet, "Promises made, promises kept. Today I signed objections to tainted electoral college vote submissions of Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Senators, time to sign on too. America must not tolerate voter fraud and election theft that undermines our republic." That's the tweet he said. And what is Mo Brooks saying? He says that Ted Cruz has a lack of an actual objection. There hasn't really been an objection, a signed and sealed objection. And Mo Brooks is saying, he notes that each state must be challenged individually. The same is true for, as is in the House of Representatives, the same is true for the Senate. And no one other than Josh Hawley in the Senate has objected. And Hawley's objection is only for Pennsylvania. Currently, there is only one objection in the Senate, Pennsylvania, contested by Josh Hawley. No other senators are on record with any objections, including Ted Cruz, who claims his involvement is contingent upon successful support for a commission. Absent of another senator or senator stepping up and challenging the other states like Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan, Nevada, etc., there is no formal challenge other than Pennsylvania and Josh Hawley. Unless Cruz or another senator challenges Arizona or the other states, it would appear Senator Cruz has pulled a head fake. That is how Mo Brooks is looking at the situation. Mo Brooks, representative of Alabama. Alexander, what do you make of that?
I think it's very likely right. It feels right, I have to say. I mean, the point about Ted Cruz is that Ted Cruz is somebody else who very much wants to be president. Bear in mind, he was a candidate for the 2016 presidential election. He was rather for the nomination, the Republican nomination for the 2016 election. So he very much wants to be president. On the one hand, that means he wants to give the Republican base, Donald Trump's supporters out there in the country, a sense that he is on their side. So that's why he maneuvers. He gets, you know, all these senators to come along and issue statements. And it's absolutely true. At this moment in time, all those senators have done is issue a statement. That's all that Ted Cruz has done. He's not actually converted that statement into any actual action. So he says that to the Republican base. At the same time, he reassures the Republican leadership, whose support probably he also wants, Mitch McConnell and McCarthy and the donors, the big Republican Party donors. Well, actually, I'm not going to push this too far. I'm going to go through the motions by raising all these issues. But at the end of the day, I am a loyal party member. I will do what the leadership says. And you shouldn't take my positioning in advance of the 2024 election too seriously. So I'm afraid I think this is probably right. And I would not be surprised if the Ted Cruz rebellion, if you like, melts away. The fact that it's happened at all, though, is important because it does show how much ferment there is in the Republican Party and amongst Republican Party supporters, and how strong feelings are that even establishment politicians, establishment Republicans like Ted Cruz, feel that they must bend to them and try to find some way to accommodate them, even if one senses that deep down they aren't really behind this thing.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we've gone over a lot of points here, and we'll find out tomorrow exactly what the real deal is. But at the end of the day, it looks like you have a lot of palace intrigue. Mm. You have multiple threads going on here. You have on the one side, you have, you know, Trump and Trump's team, you know, fighting hard to win a second term and trying to figure out how they can do that at this moment in time. On the other hand, you have, you know, Mitch McConnell and Pelosi and the swamp closing ranks, McCarthy as well. You have the vice president who's shown loyalty to Trump, but also has shown much loyalty to the swamp as well, and to the McConnell side of things. You know, what's he going to do? And then you have guys like Josh Hawley, who appears to be the real deal, but you also have guys, Republicans like Ted Cruz, who probably smells, on the one hand, wants to get closer to Trump's America First movement and to Trump's base, but also on the other hand, definitely smells that some power can be obtained from McConnell. I mean, you definitely see the Republican Party. There is also within the Republican Party a lot of people who can sense that maybe there could be a shift in power, and they can take over for what appears to be an embattled and weakened McConnell. I mean, no one appears to want McConnell. No one in the base, at least, appears to want McConnell. So there's a lot of different things going on here.
I think that's exactly right. And I think you've described it extremely well. There is a lot of intrigue going on as the Republican Party senses that the traditional leadership, McConnell is and people like him, are losing their grip. So there are people who, on the one hand, don't want to break with the traditional leadership, but at the same time want to use the Republican base to push things forward for themselves, even though ultimately they're probably not fully signed up to the whole America First, Make America Great Again, all the programs that we so much associate with Donald Trump. So we have all these movements and things taking place within the Republican Party, and it is fascinating. It is history being made in the United States. Whatever happens on the 6th of January, it will not be the end of this story, I predict. We're going to see much go on over the next couple of years, and it is the Republican Party, which is the party to watch.
All right, we'll leave it there, and we'll find out tomorrow exactly what's going to happen. We'll all be watching, everybody. Mm-hmm. All right, Alexander Kurtz, thank you very much. Guys, hit that like button. Share this video out with everybody that you know. Help this video get the exposure that it needs. And also, if you like this video, please subscribe to the channel. Go to BitChute, go to Rumble, go to Odyssey as well. You will find this video on those awesome platforms. Look in the description box down below and you will find a link to Alexander's newly launched channel. Let's get that channel to 5,000 subscribers. It's very, very close. In only a matter of days, it's gotten to a good number of subscribers, very close to 5K. You'll also find a link to my channel as well. Let's get that channel to 20K. And also go to the Durant shop. Let's help this channel out by maybe purchasing some great merchandise.
Absolutely. A fantastic merchandise, like our great magic mugs, this one with the flag of Greece, but you can find the flags of many countries there. You can find all our amazing T-shirts there, long sleeve, short sleeved. We can find sweatshirts. You can find hats. You can find hoodies. Here's a hat with the flag of the United Kingdom. You can find hoodies too. You can find amazing products in our shop, which we have made a great commitment to our viewers, will all be of the finest quality. And please do also what Alex said. Please find us on our other platforms and support us through Subscribestar, PayPal, and Patreon. And thank you for coming to this program. And please be sure to look out for our two channels, Alex Christoforou's channel and mine. You'll find links at the bottom, as Alex said, and please join us on our next program and check your subscription to this channel also.
All right, Alexander Bear-Kurtz, thank you very much. Till next time, everybody, take care.